Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Hey, it is Tuesday, July 28th. I'm an AMC A-List member, which means I pay about $25 a month to see up to 3 movies a week in theaters. I've been using it a lot lately because I've kind of stopped watching TV and started going to the movies instead, and it's become one of my favorite things to do, honestly. I saw The Odyssey last week with some friends, which had a production budget of $250 million, and sitting in the theater, I started wondering, how much does a movie like that actually need to make before anyone involved sees a dollar of profit? Because $250 million is an enormous bet on a single product. So I looked into how movie economics actually function, and the math is way more brutal than I expected, especially when you compare the blockbuster model where studios spend $250 million and hope for the best to a company called Blumhouse that figured out how to make Hollywood work like a VC fund. Okay, let's get into the economics of the film business. So the first thing that most people don't realize about movie economics is that a film's box office gross is not the studio's revenue. So when you go to the AMC and you buy a $15 movie ticket, the theater keeps roughly half of that money. The split varies by market and by how many weeks the movie has been in theaters, with studios typically getting a larger share in the opening weeks and then the theaters taking more as time goes on. But the rough average is a 50-50 split. So a movie that grosses $500 million at the global box office generates roughly $250 million in revenue for the studio. And then there's marketing. The Odyssey's production budget was $250 million, but the marketing campaign costs another $125 million on top of that. So the total investment before anyone buys a ticket was closer to $375 million. Now, when you combine the theater split with the marketing spend, the general rule in Hollywood is that a movie needs to gross about 2.5 times its production budget at the worldwide box office just to break even. So for The Odyssey, that means roughly $265 million in global ticket sales before Universal sees a profit from theatrical release. And you've got to remember, just like a venture fund, breaking even isn't even the goal, because studios need their hits to cover the losses from their misses, because most of their movies don't make money. Estimates vary, but roughly 60 to 80% of films released in any given year fail to recoup their total costs from theatrical revenue alone. The blockbuster model is a high-stakes gamble. You spend an enormous amount on a few big bets per year and hope that the ones that hit generate enough profit to cover for the ones that don't. Disney's live-action Moana remake cost $250 million, the same as The Odyssey, and it's tracking to be one of the biggest flops in this year. Okay, I'm not surprised, by the way. I saw the original Moana, and it was great. And as soon as I saw that they were making a total remake, I'm like, this is just a total money grab, and I hope it fails. And it looks like I was right. But anyway, the same budget for The Odyssey and the Moana live-action remake, the same studio system, but totally different outcomes. Now let's look at a company taking a different philosophy on this. So in 2007, a filmmaker named Jason Blum took a completely different approach to the business, and the numbers he produced over the next two decades are staggering. Blum had been working in Hollywood development for years, including a stint at Miramax, where he made a mistake that shaped his entire career. He passed on distributing The Blair Witch Project, which was a horror movie shot for $60,000 that went on to gross $249 million worldwide. That miss taught him something about the relationship between budget and return that most of Hollywood had ignored. A few years later, an Israeli video game designer named Oren Peli came to Blum with a horror film that he'd shot in his own house over 7 days using a consumer camera. The total production budget was, I kid you not, $15,000. That's it. Blum took the gamble, and Paranormal Activity grossed to $193 million worldwide, a return of roughly 12,000 times the original investment. That is, by most measures, the highest return on investment of any film in history. Blum then decided to build his company, Blumhouse Productions, around the model that Paranormal Activity proved. Produce a high volume of low-budget films, mostly horror, at budgets under $5 million each, and rely on the math that a few breakouts will more than cover the losses from the rest. It's the same logic that drives VC. Invest small amounts in a lot of bets, expect most to fail, and then count on the rare home run to return the entire fund. The movie Get Out cost $4.5 million to make, and it grossed $255 million. The Purge cost $3 million to make and made $89 million. A Harvard Business School study found that Blumhouse produced 13 of the top 25 most profitable films in North America over a five-year period. The comparison to venture capital isn't just an analogy. In VC, you might invest in 20 companies knowing that 15 will fail, 4 will return modest gains, and 1 will return 50 times your investment and pay for everything. Blumhouse literally does the exact same thing with movies. They produce 10 or more films a year, they keep each budget under $5 million, except that some of them will underperform, and then they wait for the Get Outs and the Paranormal Activities to generate returns that no $250 million blockbuster can match on a percentage basis. The studio has now crossed $4 billion in box office revenue, almost entirely from films that cost less than what a major studio spends on marketing alone. Now let's get to where the real money is in movies, because the theatrical run is actually just the beginning of a movie's revenue life, and for a lot of films, it's not even the most important part. After a movie finishes its theatrical window, it enters a sequence of additional revenue streams. Premium video on demand, which is like the $20 rental that shows up on your TV a few weeks after it leaves theaters. Then there's home video sales, streaming licensing deals, international television sales, and even airline licensing. A movie that underperforms in theaters can sometimes become profitable through these downstream windows, which is why studios don't always panic over a disappointing opening weekend as much as the headlines suggest. Streaming has reshaped this math significantly. When Netflix or Amazon buys the streaming rights to a film, the studio gets a lump sum regardless of how many people actually watch it. For some mid-budget films, the streaming deal can be worth more than the theatrical run, which changes the calculus for what gets made and how it gets distributed. The risk shifts from the studio to the streamer, and the studio gets paid whether the movie finds an audience or not. But the theatrical experience still matters for one reason that the economics alone don't capture, which is the cultural impact. The Odyssey being shot entirely on IMAX 70mm film and designed to be seen on the largest screen possible creates an event that streaming just can't replicate. And that event status drives awareness that makes every downstream revenue stream more valuable. Oppenheimer could have gone straight to streaming, but its theatrical run turned into a cultural moment that generated $975 million in ticket sales and made the streaming rights worth far more than they would have been without the theatrical buzz. The theater isn't just a revenue stream anymore. It's a marketing channel for everything that comes after. And my A-List membership is part of that math. AMC charges me $25 a month. Actually, you know what? I'm wrong. They update to $30 a month because I'm in California now. But anyway, AMC still is betting that I won't see enough movies to cost them more than $25 in ticket revenue. I've been seeing, like, I would say two movies a week, maybe. That's a high for me. Maybe it's like one a week, but still, four movies a month, which means I'm still probably costing AMC money on every visit. Just like the Delta Rewards episode from last week, where the airline bet that most loyalty members won't use enough upgrades to offset the subscription. The business model works because most A-List members don't go as often as I do. The power users subsidize themselves by drawing in the casual users who pay $25 and go twice a month, if that. Same psychology, different industry. Okay, so let's close things out. First of all, whenever I watch a movie, I always Google what the budget was. And so what I'm always going to remember now is it's not just the budget of the movie, it's the marketing budget that really changes things. The Odyssey, for example, needs to gross $625 million before Universal makes a dollar. And that's because they had a budget of $250 million plus a marketing budget of $125 million. And the rule of thumb for them is that they need to make 2.5 times that total budget. This is why what Blumhouse did has totally changed the game. They took a bet on a video game designer who shot a home movie for $15,000, Paranormal Activity, which ended up generating the highest return on investment in any film in history. Blumhouse has figured out that making movies is a lot like venture capital, where the winners pay for everything, and the key is keeping each bet small enough that the losers don't kill you. So look, the economics of entertainment are wild once you start looking at them. And the next time you see a big box office headline with a big number, the question worth asking isn't how much the movie made, but how much it needed to make in order for anyone else to get paid. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.